Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
Aboard! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Get your tickets punched right here on the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. That's right. Get your tickets punched. Get on the crazy train. Join us for a full 2 hours of lively entertainment about fishing, hunting, the great outdoors in Wisconsin, and whatever else pops into our head. And if you want to get on the train with us and be involved in the show, all you got to do with your questions or comments is give us a call at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Or you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. And you know, folks, we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., and we do appreciate you tuning into us. So good morning, Danny. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
How's everybody today? Got a nice weekend here, eh? Finally? It's nice weather-wise.
What are you talking about?
What?
Don't you ever read a forecast?
Yeah, it's going to rain this afternoon, but
it's going to be 50-mile-an-hour winds today. Tomorrow.
Ain't going to be that.
That's part of the weekend, Bub. About 5 hours of nice weekend.
There ain't going to be that
it's
strong.
It's nice now.
Nobody's even awake now. I'm talking about temperature-wise. We're going to have snow melting. Ice is melting today and tomorrow. That's what I'm concerned about,
still
the melting.
Sucks.
Hey, a little rain is good for the soul. It's good for the plants. Under the snow.
Another lousy day.
So if people are going ice fishing, do it before noon because the rain is supposed to come in around noonish.
Just another crummy day. Life's like a crap sandwich. Every day's another bite.
Yeah. Oh, where'd you hear that one? Where'd you hear that?
I made it up.
You stole that from somebody.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I'm a genius. I come up with stuff all the time.
Yeah, he's a genius. He set up my stereo. Was that a stereo?
That was the line. He hooked up our stereo.
Yeah, he hooked up our stereo.
What's that from?
Strange Brew.
You ever see Strange Brew?
Never have.
Okay, you have to watch it. It's a cult classic.
Yeah. On Second City TV, there were two guys, Dave the Thomas Beaver and Rick Moranis. They did a skit on Second City TV, and now we're talking a while back, and it was called The Great White North. They were from Canada, okay? And they would talk like youpers and all that, and they were goofy. Well, they ended up actually making a movie, the two guys, the real people.
Really?
They made a movie called Strange Brew. It was their quest for free beer, and they had all different kind of ways to do it. It's a very strange movie, but it actually has a storyline behind it and everything. It's just funny.
Chicks would think it's stupid.
Yeah. Guys.
There's no way. They'd watch about 2 minutes of it and think it's stupid.
Yep, definitely.
But guys think it's kind of funny in a certain way.
Yeah, it is. It's just weird.
I'd say it's I guess it never reached the cult status of The Big Lebowski or anything like that.
Yeah, I know, but it is good.
If you watch it. over and over again, you catch some of the lines and stuff, yeah. And it,
you know, like when he tries to bribe the two of them try to bribe a secretary, and he pulls a jelly donut out of his pocket, and he goes, "How about a jelly?"
Yeah, they're trying to
bribe her.
Of course, nowadays, you know, I don't think it would be, you know, I think it wouldn't be politically correct, because the secretary they're trying to bribe is, I will say, rather...
He's chunky.
Chunky.
Yeah, a little bit.
And
yeah.
So now I guess there'd be a stereotype that, oh, she's going to want a donut. She's going to want a donut.
Kind of like policemen with donuts or whatever.
Right,
you know,
right. So now right away you're stereotyping, yeah, you know, yeah. So it'd probably be, you know, not a... Everything's making everybody mad nowadays.
Of course, one of our favorite lines, we use this all the time, is, "Tom, where are you going to be?" And this was asked of one of the actors.
After they got arrested.
Yeah, and he says, "Yeah, they're going to go to jail." And the one, Dave the Thomas Beaver, says to Rick Moranis, "Yeah, they're going to be loving you all night long."
And then you're a cute little guy.
Yeah, you're
they're
going to
be loving
guy.
You all night yeah. long. You go, and then, "Where will you be?"
"I'll be in the parking lot selling smokes."
He says cafeteria.
Oh, does he say cafeteria?
Cafeteria.
We say parking lot
because that's where you go have a smoke.
That's where I go.
That's what Danny tells me after the show every week. I'll be in the parking lot selling smokes.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you say?
Sometimes, yeah.
When the weather's too cold.
That's where we got that.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's a funny show. As a matter of fact, Nick, you would have loved this. Back when John Layman was alive, and upstairs from the Muskie shop was the Monkey Island, we called it. That was our meeting.
Monkey Island?
Yeah, that was our meeting area, okay? And John had this great idea. We're going to have movie night. He got this big screen TV, you know, and he got the chairs and the couch. And he even set up, remember when he set up a stand? You could buy popcorn and candy bars, soda, beer. I mean, he you come upstairs and you're like in a little theater, right? And the first year we played...
Blood Hook,
yeah, which is a really
Strange Brew.
We played Blood Hook, Strange Brew. Did it go on after that? I don't think it did. I think it was just the two.
Now, like most great ideas that John had, it was my idea, actually.
Oh,
and
was
what
it?
Would happen is I'd be over at John's, and after I'd have one or too many beers, I would come up with just say something stupid off the top of my head.
Okay.
And John would run with it.
And you said, "Movie night.
Hey, we could watch movie or something." And yeah. And he'd run with it. So next thing you know, John thought we'd turn ourselves into Marcus
Theaters. Yeah.
The only problem was the only guys that showed up were old guys like us, right?
Well, there were a few.
And everybody would be asleep.
Well,
John left halfway through the first movie because he was too tired and had to go home.
That's right, yeah.
A lot of John's great ideas, he wouldn't show up.
Yeah, but that first one, the house was packed. I mean, there had to be, you get 15 guys up there, that's packed, you know. And the first one was packed. The second one was maybe 7 or 8 guys, you know, something like that. But the first one was packed. After that, it wasn't so hot. And then we stopped doing it.
Like most great ideas, it kind of fell by the wayside. So 7 o'clock today, we got our Boulder Junction connection coming in today.
Yep. Dennis Royce will be in the studio live and talking about different things. He's going to have he's at the sports show, at the Milwaukee Sports Show, and he's going to be giving away free stuff again. I mean, like by trips, motel stays, guided trips up there in Boulder Junction. So he's going to give us the lowdown and the info on what they're going to be doing. So
you got good reason to stay tuned other than listening to Tom's weather reports here and our dumb movie reviews.
Yeah, our dumb movie reviews. But I must admit, Blood Hook, if you're a fishing guy, that's a great movie, especially if you're a muskie fisherman. I mean, because it's about a lot of different things, but it takes place in Hayward during a muskie tournament.
How about Escanaba in the Moonlight?
That's another good one. You know, the first half of that movie is good.
And then it's like they ran out of writers to write
exactly,
the rest of
the
it.
The second half,
Yeah.
The first half was hilarious. The second half with the aliens and everything,
it's like they ran out of stuff, so they had to just throw some goofy stuff in to get the movie done.
Exactly. But the first half is very funny.
How about Grumpy Old Men?
All of them are good.
I love
all
grumpy
of those
old
are
men.
Good. There was Grumpy Old Men, then
Even Grumpier Old Men.
Was it called Even Grumpier?
I think that was the second one.
Or just Grumpier
It might just be grumpier. I don't think it's even.
Was there two or three of them?
I think there was two, because then
just
like
two?
Because Burgess Meredith died in the second one, and then I think Walter Matthau was not in very good health by the time they finished the second movie.
Yeah, but those two, of course, are classics.
Those are pretty good. Rick, what's his name? Moranis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's the guy. The other guy never really went on to anything. Mick Moranis did make a career. His big bust out in Ghostbuster.
Yep.
Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Are you the gatekeeper?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was perfect.
Lewis.
He was perfect for that.
Dave the Beaver Thomas, he had bit roles in like sitcoms, you know, here and there. Yeah, he was on one show where he was like a regular character every week. I forget the name of the show.
Okay.
But he went on to do parts in TV shows, you know, so, but not.
He never made it big.
I don't think he was ever in a movie, though, after Strange Brew.
He should have staged Getting Jumped in Chicago and got his stock up there, and then he made a lot more money.
Yeah.
When I think Rick Moranis, I always think Dark Helmet. You guys big on Spaceballs?
Yes, that's
He's
hilarious.
So good.
Which one?
Spaceballs. It's a.
I never saw that one. Wasn't he in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, too?
Yeah, he was in that one, too, yeah. Spaceballs is a takeoff of. Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
And
Mel Brooks.
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
Now I got something to.
Not the Force. It was
the Schwartz.
Schwartz. May the Schwartz be with you.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine, Star. It's awesome.
Jesus.
Okay. That was good. That's Luke, good. Come to the dark side. I am your father.
Well, that's in Strange Brew, too, where they're wearing the hockey things, and one's in black, and he comes out and makes some kind of comment like Darth Vader.
Yeah, that was hilarious, yeah. Oh, boy. We're getting really off track.
We're way off track. 799-1250. We need a hunting or fishing report. Real bad. Give us a call. Tell us. Are you out there?
Well, I got a fishing report for you.
Okay.
Not that I went, but... I always get them from my son, and he goes out on the weekends, and he last week, I forget if it was Saturday or Sunday, he did extremely well on big bluegills. He did extremely well on those, and big pumpkin seeds, big bluegills. He did really good. One of the area lakes around here in Muskego. I don't know, Big Muskego, Little Muskego, Tishigan. I don't know which one.
Would he be fishing deep, shallow this time of year?
Shallow. Nothing over 5 feet. 5-6 feet is the deepest.
Minimite, jig,
no.
Waxworm.
He's been using a number of things, but one of his really hot baits was a gold tungsten jig.
Okay.
Gold tungsten and with a waxy or two spikes. And, you know, I've been saying for years that gold jigs are very good. They do produce. I mean, there's other ones that are good, too, other colors. But for some reason, that gold, when I iced fish, gold was really
I can never differentiate brass, gold, copper. To me, those all kind of are the same. Although copper would be a darker, correct?
It's they all have a difference. They all look different. They really do. I mean, like if you get a spinnerbait with gold blades versus brass blades, gold blades are brighter, shinier. There's a little bit of a different color, you know, a little bit different. But
it's not really gold.
No, they're expensive. They're 14 karat gold plated, which means like what, maybe I don't know, a milligram or something.
Like some cheap. Jewelry might be? Is that like
yeah,
real?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a 14
karat. So they actually use just a little bit of gold then?
Yeah, they really do, but it's very thin gold plated, and it's almost like it's even less than a gold leaf, you know, and that's why, like, when I make my spinner baits, which I'm waiting for my order of stuff to come in, I buy the gold blades, and those are a lot more expensive than your standard nickel blades or copper blades or brass blades, yeah.
Right.
They're a lot more expensive, so...
Maybe I'll buy up a bunch of those gold blades and put them in my retirement 401 plan.
I don't think they're worth
like
more
like those
than
guys
it.
On TV.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Invest in our
gold. We got gold.
The market may change, but this'll stick forever.
Yeah, and they're asking for $178 for this 1 ounce coin that an ounce of gold is what, $1,200, $1,300, $1,400? It's like, it can't be all gold if it's only $178.
I ain't buying nothing.
All right. We got to go to a break, folks. When we come back, we're going to actually get into more fishing and hunting stuff because, hey, folks, those rivers, they're going to be opening up real soon. And because this coming week, we got a lot of nice weather. Things are going to be melting. Rivers are going to crack open. And it will be walleye time here on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Skipper Buds, Cutting
there
Edge Outdoors.
You go. You're on now. Yeah, the first part, your welcome back, wasn't on.
Welcome back. Like, welcome back, Cotter.
Yeah.
All right. Next time I'll just shout it out loud.
Oh, Danny, just let me finish up real quick on those hornswoggle, on those spinnerbait things.
Yes, on the gold.
Normally, I make a white skirt with gold blades, and then, you know, whether they be Colorado or willow leaf. And then I also make the black skirt with the blaze orange blades. But this year I'm going to make another new one. I'm going to make a black skirt with the gold blades. Because a lot of, you know, when you have that stained water, that gold spinning in the water kind of looks like the some people call them golden shiners or golden roaches, you know, but the shiners, they're goldish in color. And it seems like a lot of the fish, predators and prey, a lot of times have that goldish tint to them in the little bit darker water, you know, like walleyes,
right.
They'll be a little bit darker,
right.
You know. So this year I'm going to make some black skirted spinnerbaits with gold blades, and we'll see how that works this year. But anyway, okay.
So, and you got to make me those two spinnerbaits you made me. Those were pretty darn good when I used those up for smallmouth.
Yeah, they do. I'll tell you, we use them for everything. When I was younger in fishing tournaments, Danny, I had this one pretty good-sized Plano tackle box. I had over 100 spinnerbaits in there, plus I had different blades and sizes of blades. I had different skirts, different colors. I had all the makings to make whatever color spinnerbait and blade configuration I needed. Like if I'm at a 2 or 3 day tournament and I hear or see somebody catching them on a certain way, one, I can make it. You know, I mean, I had so many. But then I realized over the years that I was only using a certain few, right? And my assortment got dwindled down and down, smaller and smaller. And now basically my two main ones are the white spinnerbait with the gold blades and the black one with the orange blades. Those are my main two. If the fish ain't biting those, they ain't biting. Seriously. But up on the bay, I know chartreuse and white skirts work really good.
It was the white one. You made me a white one.
Yeah, that one worked better for you up there.
And I was up on Rowley's Bay in August a couple years ago, and it was so crystal clear. I could see a big smallie about 20 yards out by a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I chucked your spinnerbait just beyond it, about 10 feet. And when I brought it past that rock, it come darting out 5 feet and hammered it. It was great.
Yeah.
4-pounder. Your spinnerbait. Yeah.
And the nice thing is they work for bass or northern pike. And we have caught a few muskies on them, you know, not real big ones, smaller ones. But bass and pike, they both love it because it is a little bit bigger spinnerbait. It's a half ouncer. Versus in stores, generally the biggest ones you find are 3/8. They're usually at 1/4 or 3/8, you know.
Right.
I just like a little bit bigger one because, you know, we like catching big fish.
And you said big spinner baits at night for bass.
The half-ounce spinner bait with the big oversized Colorado blade. And those spinner baits, you have to have a ball-bearing snap swivel or a ball-bearing swivel on that spinner bait that's attached to the arm, you know, the spinner bait.
Otherwise, you'll get line twist.
Yeah, you got to have a good ball bearing swivel on that. You know, you don't want one of the cheap ones on that because you want to make sure it's spinning. I mean, the cheap ones will work. Don't Don't get me wrong. But they seem to get fouled up easier, okay, than a good, like a sample ball bearing swivel.
Right.
And they're not cheap, you know. They're not cheap.
What's the purpose of the bent arm on some spinner baits where you have to actually tie your line direct to it? What's the purpose of that, that they don't have like you know.
Some are a twist bend, they call.
And twist bend, you can put a snap swivel through.
Right, right. And the other ones are called an R bend.
Why do they even have an R bend? You got to
It tracks straighter. The spinnerbait arm, the arm that's on top, like on a safety pin.
Right.
The arm that's on top is in direct alignment with the arm on the bottom, whereas when you have a twist connecting, it's going to be off a tad.
Well, okay. So which brings another interesting point. Steve Milliot is anal as he was about his baits in tuning everything precise, mm-hmm. as opposed to me just slap it on and start chucking. He would tune his spinner baits if they kind of had a little cant to the side.
Yep.
He'd actually take and start bending the arm and start, because I was with him one time and he says, give me that thing. I guess he got tired of looking at my spinnerbait running sideways.
A little bit on the side, yeah.
So he says, give me that thing. Yeah. And then he started bending it and So I guess tuning a spinnerbait, which is something you really don't...
You don't think of.
Right.
Yeah, but with the R, not the R bend, but with the twist bend in the front, those might run a little off. And an R bend can run off too, because, you know, I've caught pike that have just, and bass, that have just twisted those arms, the wire, they just twisted it all up, you know, and then you got to start re-bending it and it might not come in right and you got to play with it. It's kind of like having to tune your crankbaits, you know, making sure those run straight, you know, because sometimes you get some that might run a little off.
You know, you want to talk about, I think the good thing, the thing that separates, Tom, I think maybe the elite angler from maybe the good angler is the elite angler, I think, pays attention to little details.
You're exactly right.
That the other guy doesn't think about.
Mm-hmm.
I referenced Steve again, and he's off living in Kansas City now. He hasn't fished in years. He's married. But when he was into the fishing, he was into it, and he was to the point where, okay, we're talking suspending husky jerks, rogues, things, minnow baits, Rapalas. What he would do is, of course, he'd troll Beta Knock. He'd troll the Bay of Green Bay. Now, you would think a suspending husky jerk is a suspending husky jerk. It's going to run exactly the same. He would actually get a bucket of, in the wintertime, he'd water test them and see which ones tended to sink a little bit more, which ones tended to run a little but didn't sink as fast. And he would have them coated. The ones that didn't sink as much were his inside lines when he was trolling a break line, less likely to hook up, and then the other ones were the ones that he'd run outside, and then he might use a floating diver type Rapala. He'd have a science to which, whereas I just put a couple baits on and chuck them out and start trolling, but he'd really think very carefully what he was going to run where. Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised when I was younger how many times my wife watched me fill up the bathtub with water and putting different brands of plastic worms.
Same thing.
And seeing which ones floated a little bit faster. I mean, not floated, but sunk a little quicker, a little slower. And then she said, what are you doing there?
There's, most people play with a rubber ducky when they're in the tub, like Kermit the Frog. There'd be Tom in the bathtub
with plastic worms.
Playing with his worms.
Grandpa, I want to take a bath. I'm testing buoyancy in here.
Did you sing a song too, like Kermit the Frog, Rubber Ducky?
No, I don't think so. But I you're right though. It's the little things in fishing when you pay attention to detail, that is so important. And especially in like where you're placing your casts on certain types of structures, whether it be an underwater structure or an above water structure, where you're placing that cast, where you think the fish are facing. So that it doesn't come up from behind them, that they'll see it coming towards them or in front of them somewhere. You know, all those things all make a difference.
Well, that's one thing, too. Yeah. A lot of guys will, let's say, cast the weed bed. I don't care what, pike, muskie, bass. And they'll do it from one direction and then move on to the next weed bed. But some fishermen, I think I read Doug Johnson on Lake of the Woods years ago, he would attack a weed bed from different directions, yeah, too. He wouldn't just do it from one direction, because you got to think, which way are those fish laying? If you got a muskie or pike hunkered down in the weeds, you could theoretically cast 5 feet behind it, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's hunkered down, it may or may not detect that bait back behind or not. You got to get it in their zone.
Right. It's like with bass fishing under docks. I would hit the left side of the dock, the front of the dock, and the right side of the dock. I'd hit all three, because there might, and further back, further to the front, you know. I mean, you got to, you don't, a lot of guys I see, they just make one shot under a dock, that's it, on to the next. You know, no, you got to give, you know, three or four shots sometimes, maybe, or at least two, you know, but getting them at different angles, you know. And if you're fishing with somebody, the guy in the front of the boat, he can get the front of the dock underneath in the back. The guy in the back can get the left side of the dock. Then the guy in the front can get the right side deep. And then the guy in the back gets the right side shallow. I mean, you can hit it all different ways with two guys.
So
and
if you have a couple of guys, if you can coordinate it like that way one guy's not, the guy in front isn't hogging all the best spots.
Yeah.
You're leaving certain zones for the other guy to cover.
And everybody's covering. One time I was with my brother Bill. We were on Nagawicca, and we came up to this dock, and I said, Bill, I'm going to try this dock. Now, he could not skip under a dock to save his soul. He couldn't do that. No. And he just sat there in amazement. And I was kind of amazed, too, because I hit this. It was a pretty good-sized dock, but I hit it from different angles. I caught 5 legal largemouths from that one dock, just from hitting it at different angles. Now, if I would have just stuck one under there and made another cast, nothing happened, okay, and went on, I wouldn't have even known there were other fish under there, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I guess we got to go to another break. Coming up next, folks, is the Gut Report. I've got a pretty interesting one for you today. You might like it. You might already know it. And if you don't, you're going to like it. And don't forget, after the 6:45 break, we will be playing the Hornswoggle. You can win a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market in Menominee Falls. So stay tuned for all that and more on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds. That is the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Two things you got to do this weekend. Let's see.
Go ahead.
Well, three
things. I was going to say, we're supposed to do the gut report.
Okay, four things. We're going to do the gut report. You can go out and see Dennis at the sports show. Get up to Midwestern Shooter Supply, buy some more firearms, and go to Skipper Buds and get a boat.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the things you got to do this weekend.
That's what you got to do?
Yep.
All right.
Okay. We got our gut report?
Yes, we do.
Okay, hit it.
I'm going to eat you.
We forgot all
I'm
about it.
I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The gut report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. I had a number of options to do for the gut report today. I'll save one of them for next week, which is a really good one, so you want to make sure you hear it. But this is pretty easy. How many times have you wanted to make, you buy pasta at the store, right? But maybe you'd like to make your own ravioli or some type of pasta. Well, making pasta, fresh pasta, is very easy and it's very good. Are you ready for this recipe? This is pretty simple. 2 cups of flour, 2 large eggs, and 3 to 6 tablespoons of water, depending, you know, on the consistency. You knead that all. You knead it for about 10 minutes. Then you let it rest for about 20. Roll it out to the thickness you desire for whatever you're making. You don't need one of them fancy hand crank pasta rollers, you know, if you want. I mean, yeah, if you got one, it's great. But if you want to make ravioli, you roll it out to a certain thickness, a little less than 1/8 of an inch. You cut it into squares, put your filling, fold it over, put a little water on the corners to seal it, drop it in the water. And I'll tell you what, in boiling water, fresh pasta only takes a couple minutes to cook. It's very simple, very good. Make your own pasta, 2 cups of flour, 2 large eggs, 3 to 6 tablespoons of water. You got it made. The Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you'll find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow in Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to discountliquorinc.com.
Come here, I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
Hey, Danny, you know what I did yesterday?
What'd you do, Tom?
Over at Sherper's, I took down all the ice fishing stuff. All gone. Took it all down. I moved the Plano stuff. I put out all the nets, everything. And I'm getting new stock in every week. And we're ready to rock and roll.
So you got the open water stuff?
Yep. It's all there now.
It's all there.
And I'm still getting stuff in, you know. So, you know, funny thing is, when you make a big order and, you know, you get it in early in the season, the problem is that you don't get the whole order at once. You get like a half of it, and then a quarter of it, and then an eighth of it.
Now, Sherper's has a great selection of a little bit of everything there, but the fishing equipment you'd have there, does it kind of cater to the campers and guys that are going to go out and go take somewhere? They want to pick up kind of some basic fishing equipment?
Yes, and we also have stuff for the aficionados, if you will. We have an assortment of striking products, which, you know, their stuff isn't that cheap, but it's okay. Very good. We've got all the fancy lines, you know, whether you want the fluorocarbons or the Power Pros or whatever, you know, that stuff.
Right.
We've got all the different plastics that you might need. We cater to mostly, you know, for years it was mainly towards the campers, you know, the people who would go out once a month or whatever.
Right.
But now our fishing section is really has grown. You know, we got tungsten weights, you know, that for the guys who want that, you know. So it has grown, and it will grow a little bit more. As a matter of fact, we're going to be moving into the front of the store. And, oh, here's another one. Now, try to find live bait around here is hard. The closest bait shop in this area, in Hales Corners, let's say, is in the middle of Muskego at a gas station. That's the closest place where you can get live bait.
Right.
Because several places closed around, you know, here over the years. Well, this spring, probably starting in April, we will be carrying night crawlers, red worms, and leaf worms at Sherper's. We will have live bait. So, we're not going to have minnows, though. No, none of that.
You know, an interesting thing, Superior, Wisconsin, when I used to visit there as a kid, because, of course, Dad grew up there. My grandmother, relatives lived up there. Superior, Wisconsin, many years ago, 50 years ago, used to be dotted with kids would have old refrigerators out like on the by the curb, and they would have night crawlers in like little, you know, containers.
Yeah,
maybe like a cottage cheese container or something like that.
They'd be selling
and
night crawlers.
Sitting in there, and then they'd have a little box, and it was an on your honor type thing.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't even see the kid sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
They just put them out there, and people would put the quarter in the coffee can or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't see that anymore.
Well, even kids just sitting out, you know.
It'd be a refrigerator without the door on it normally, with them kind of stacked there.
Yeah. Now, and, you know, it's funny, like, it used to be, like, you'd go out into the lake country in Waukesha, let's say, where all different lakes are. You'd be driving down, let's say, in the town of Okachi. There would be two or three kids sitting out on the front lawn and with a big sign, night crawlers, you know, $1 a dozen or whatever, 50 cents a dozen. You don't see that anymore. I mean, I have not seen that, and I can't tell you how many years. Oh, Danny, we got an email.
Okay.
We get back to the worms.
Okay.
This comes from Ralph. Ralph's upset. I'm sorry to hear that, Ralph. He says, I saw in the news that Miller charges $3 more for a case of beer in Wisconsin. Oh, in Wisconsin, than in Chicago. The Cutting Edge needs listeners to protest. Yeah, why would it be charged $3 more in Wisconsin than in Chicago? I don't know. Supply and demand or just demand? I don't know. Why would they charge $3 more a case?
You would think it would be more expensive to get it to Chicago because you got to pay tolls just to get into Illinois.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Well, it's all about... Well, I'll tell you why, Tom. Want to know why?
Okay, yeah, I want to know why. Why is it, Danny?
We have more knowledge on this. It's all about economics, Tom.
Yes.
You'll charge what you can get for it.
Right.
Okay? So if people love their Miller beer here in Wisconsin...
They're going to pay it.
More for their Miller beer here in Wisconsin.
Now, if they stop paying more, if they stop buying as much, then Miller would probably lower the price.
They
right?
can't do that.
Well, I know they can't, but maybe they would.
They got to keep having their, yeah.
Well, and it's not so much Miller.
Is it Miller or Coors, too? Because Miller Coors is one,
it's one
big
company,
happy family now.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's owned by the South African beer company.
What?
Oh, yeah.
We're owned by South Africans?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a worldwide thing. Is that right, Nick? Am I right in assuming that?
You're a college kid. You know a lot about beer.
Oh.
Ex-college kid.
Oh, the college kid who went to Oshkosh knows a lot about Oshkosh. Cheap beer. Ha, ha, ha.
Okay, let's ask him. Sorry. I guess we'll come back to you if we have a question about Point, Black Label, Hams.
Yeah.
Hams.
Old Milwaukee.
You want a story about Hams? My brother went to college, Madison, Wisconsin. Hams was his favorite beer.
Another one that was cheap.
And he moved to Austin, Texas, could not find Hams, couldn't find Wisconsin beer. So he found like one grocery store in the outskirts of Travis County in Texas that sold it. And he went in there, gave the manager of the store his business card, said, "Hi, I'm Matt Bodie. I'm here to buy all your Hams. I'm going to buy you out all 10 cases of Hams tall boys you have. And when your next shipment comes in, don't put them on the shelf. Call me. I will buy you out." And I'm pretty sure he still does it to this day.
So, really?
Hams, very popular with the Bodie family.
Okay. But what about is Miller and Coors, isn't that owned by a South African company?
I think it's Busch and Coors and Miller. I will check the ownership on that.
But I think it's owned by a South African company.
We need Venner. So. Venner, who is the South African guy we had on a couple weeks
ago? Oh, yeah. I don't think he would know, though. I don't want that guy. I don't want that safari dude drinking beer while we're out chasing rhinoceros or something. I don't want him doing that. Well, anyway, Ralph, we're getting on to it. We're going to figure it out. We'll figure it out. And folks, just to remind you, we got Dennis Royce, our Boulder Junction connection, coming in at 7 o'clock today. He'll be live in the studio. I'm hitting this button here. Nothing's happening. Uh-oh. Danny.
What?
We got another email. Well, that's true, too. This is from our friend, Jim Dembeck. He says, "Tom, the purpose of the R-bend on spinnerbaits is that the line never gets wrapped around the eye. Sometimes when casting a spinnerbait, baits flip over and line gets wrapped on the tie. With the R-bend, the line just goes through the opening. In the R-bend, the line just goes through the opening in the R-bend and not slips to the right itself." Well, granted, yeah, when you got that twist bend, the line can get stuck behind it.
Oh,
Whereas with an R bend, it doesn't get stuck. It just comes right through the R bend and then the knot just turns around and it's fine. Jim is right. I forgot to bring that up. But that is one of the purposes for it. Yeah.
Good point.
Definitely. Thanks, Jim. We appreciate that. You got to keep us on the straight and narrow.
That's right.
Here. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Well, you guess what time it is? It's time to play the Hornswoggle.
Time to go have a smoke in the parking lot.
Yep. Time to play the Hornswoggle. Danny's going to make three statements. You're going to tell
7, 9, 9, 12.
Don't you just love 50. How he just cuts me right off?
Sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
Danny's going to ask. He's going to make three statements. You're going to tell him if it's a Hornswoggle or a no Hornswoggle. And if you get two out of three correct, you will win a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market on the corner of Pilgrim and Silver Spring in Menominee Falls. And Danny, are you ready with your questions?
7, 9, 9, 12, 50 is the number.
Right.
And yes.
I was going to get to that, but I wanted to make sure you're ready.
I was born ready.
You were? Okay.
Yeah. Come on, man.
All right. 7, 9, 9, 12, 50.
Come on, man.
Be a contestant, and you too can be a winner here on where, Danny? Where are they listening?
What?
Where are they listening? 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, Sports Radio.
Hales Corners. Beautiful downtown Hales Corners.
Well, are we downtown?
Right across from all the neon lights and casinos.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, we better go.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening this beautiful Saturday morning. According to Tom, it's nice out. And right now, we've got our Hornswoggle segment. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make three statements. And if I'm pulling the contestant's leg, he says Hornswoggle. If I'm telling the truth, it's no Hornswoggle. So do we have a lucky contestant there, Nick?
We do. We have Tim and Tosa on the line with us.
Hey, Tim and Tosa, how you doing?
Very good. Yourself?
Good, man.
Good
okay,
morning,
so
Ted.
Here we go. Beer, radio shows, and sweat lodges. Those are our categories today. So number one.
South African brewery.
Hey, yeah. So here we go. We were talking about Ham's Beer earlier, one of the finest. Ham's Beer. And speaking of Ham's Beer, the Ham's Bull. The Ham's Bull was a fixture on many beer commercials in the 60s. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
That would be a Hornswoggle.
Hey, what kind of animal was it?
That would be a bear.
Bear.
That's right.
From the land of sky blue waters.
I have a sign in my basement.
Do you really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Water.
I remember in the 60s watching Packer games in black and white TVs, and they'd have the Ham's commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You never see those anymore. Gosh,
no.
Darn it.
No.
Okay.
No,
all right. You don't see kids in tree forts either. You see them on their cell phones playing video games these days.
Yeah.
The whole world's going to hell. So, next one. Courtesy of one of our listeners, Martin Milner and Pete Malloy from Adam 12 did a 2-hour radio fishing show called Let's Talk Hookup.
That would be a Hornswoggle.
No, that's a no Hornswoggle.
Really?
Yeah.
God,
yeah, I guess. Okay, so you're 1-for-2. And here we go. Elizabeth Warren once speared a white sturgeon while with her native brothers at a sweat lodge in Eugene, Oregon.
Hornswoggle.
Hey!
You got it. All right.
Too funny.
All right. So we got your information. Correct, Nick? You got the address and everything written down?
We got them.
Okay, man. I'll be mailing that $10 certificate for Carl's Country Meats. Get ready to bring your checkbook, though, because you'll be buying lots of good stuff there.
I totally understand. I will.
All right. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, Carl's Country Market is located on the corners of Pilgrim and Silver Spring in Menominee Falls, where they have butchers cutting. You know, butchers are cutting those choice meats daily, and they get a lot of good stuff there, so you might want to visit it. I found out here on Wikipedia.
Nobody. You can't trust Wikipedia.
I know.
They tell the high school kids, Nick, can you
trust
Wikipedia
no.
for a source when you write a
no.
college paper?
My high school teachers told me no. My college professors actually said yes. I'm not kidding. Across the board.
Believe it. Okay.
Very weird.
Goddamn teachers. Especially English teachers. They're kind of weird anyway.
That's Oshkosh. It doesn't count.
Okay. South African Breweries, officially the South African Breweries Limited, informally SAB, is a major brewery headquartered in Johannesburg, South Africa, and was a wholly owned subsidiary of SAB Miller until its interests were sold to Anheuser-Busch in October of 2016.
So Anheuser-Busch owns it.
I guess they
do. That's what
know.
I like to hear.
Yeah, they own
Anheuser-Busch.
Busch.
Is in charge.
Yeah, okay, so there you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay,
you know
I thought
what?
It was the other way around.
We were talking about investing in gold coins that we don't know what that's about. If a guy invested in a beer company stock, how can that ever go down?
I don't think it would unless...
Think about it.
Unless people were...
Rather investing in gold, invest in liquid gold. What's always going to sell, no matter what?
Oh, hey, Danny,
think about it.
We got a question.
Kids like your buddies getting drunk.
Yeah.
There you go.
We got an answer to the question as to why beer costs $3 more a case in Wisconsin than it does in Illinois. The reason, and this comes from John. We thank you, John, for letting us know. He says, guys, Wisconsin has a minimum markup law. It has been a pain for years. I forgot all about that, the minimum markup law.
Well, it's the old minimum markup law. I can't believe I didn't remember that.
I forgot all
about
that.
The old minimum markup law.
The minimum markup law. That's why it costs more here. And that's something Governor Walker was trying to get changed, wasn't he? Wasn't he trying to change that? I mean, I don't know, but
Well, we should change that.
Yeah, we should.
But that is just another tax.
Yeah.
Just another way of taxing the American people. Lousy Democrats.
Where's
that Homer Simpson quote where he goes, lousy Democrats? Yeah. don't worry, though. They're proposing $1 billion. Yeah, get ready, guys. Our gas prices are going up. Everything's going to cost more.
No, I'm just holding my breath. I'm just holding my breath.
Okay.
I'm just holding my breath waiting for spring. And we never did get to the walleye stuff that's going to be happening pretty soon. Another week or two.
Well, let's talk walleyes.
Well, we will after we do the sports update with Nick Bodie. You know, because he's all ready to go. He's got interesting stuff.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I suppose we do. I think it's in our contract.
Is it really interesting?
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think
it better
so.
Better be, Nick. There's
all right.
Some good stuff.
All right. Well, then here he is. Here's Nick Bodie with the news on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.